You're listening to sermons from Bethany Baptist Church of Chicago. For more information, visit us at bethanychicago.org.
God, Father, thank you because we're gathered together in this place. And you are giving us to hear your word and understand what do you want from us. And to hear your voice through your word to make an impact in our hearts, to appreciate the wonderful truth of the gospel, to be passionate, to live every day the gospel, and also share with others that wonderful truth. We want to ask you for your Holy Spirit that is in us to help us to understand what you want to say this morning. Be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we are in Christmas season. And this season, children are very happy because they will not have to go to school anymore for a few days. And they will also receive gifts. Right? At least many children that we know, because there are some that they don't receive in some places a gift. Youth are also happy because there is no more homework for them. And there is more free time to rest and rejoice in whatever they enjoy to do more, hobbies. Adults are also happy because there is more family time, or more food, lots of food more. And the church, on its side, strives to make people understand the true of meaning, the true meaning of Christmas, saying that Christ is Christmas, taking advantage of the season to preach of the one who gave his life in favor of sinners, in favor of us. We should really defend the name of Jesus in this season. Take advantage of these days to enjoy the good things that can be enjoyed in the family or friends. But first of all, emphasize the name of Jesus during this time of the year. It is an excellent opportunity to teach in our home, with our neighbors, friends and work, and everyone over whom we have any influence, the gospel of Christ. Not only about the birth of Jesus, but his complete work, his life, death, and resurrection, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. We're going to read Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 26. We can see in these verses a different viewpoint from Matthew. Also, you can read it in Luke. But Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother, Mary, had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband, Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, He did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. It was a serious commitment, although they still did not live together. If they decided not to consummate their relationship, they had to formally divorce. So it was not possible to marry, could be pregnant, because she had not had a physical relation with Joseph yet. She was a virgin woman. However, a miraculous and unique, a really unique event happened through Mary. God was fulfilling many of his promises through the fruit of the womb of Mary by the power of the Holy Spirit, as we can read in the Bible. The first time we see that promise in the scripture is in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. I really like this verse because it's the first time that we can hear the gospel. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. This text is a promise of God for the salvation of all humanity. Just after Adam and Eve sinned against God and broke their communion with God, God seeks man and provides redemption through his son. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. The sin that Adam committed passed on to all men from generation to generation. So we all have, all of us, we have Adam as our father, the first man who put his foot on the earth. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 said, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sin. The man that this text speaks of was Adam. And as a result of his sin, he died and brought sin and death to all of us. These are many reasons to be angry with Adam, right? But the text says that we also sin, so we cannot only blame him. We have made our own decisions, and we have all decided to sin in the past, and in the future, we're going to have also opportunities to not commit a sin, but we're going to decide to sin against the Lord. Who will deliver me from this body of death? That's how we are right now. We're not free from sin. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 again. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Let me explain a little bit about this verse in the Bible. The offspring of the serpent, who is the one that God is speaking in the verse 15, it will be eliminated by the seed of the woman. It's Jesus, the offspring. It's Jesus, the child who was born in Bethlehem and the Virgin Mary. God in flesh, who was wounded, nailed to a cross, and died, but who on the third day rose again, crushing the head of the serpent, that is Satan. Jesus overcame sin and death. Those who believe in him, they are not condemned, but have eternal life. So, there's the gospel in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Let's see Matthew chapter 1 and verse 19. It says, and her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Joseph must have left deeply disappointed because for him, from his perspective, the love of his life, Mary had deceived him. I can imagine his deep sadness, but he was a righteous man. That is, he was a man who wanted to please God and who walked in obedience before him. So he decided to separate from Mary, but without accusing her of adultery. Because this would have meant for Mary not only shame, but death itself. Because the law dictated that adultery should be punished with death. But an angel appeared to Joseph in dreams and told him not to be afraid of receiving Mary, because for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. In addition to this revelation, Joseph received the instruction to name the child. The angel told him that the child should be called Jesus, which means Savior. The angel explains that this will be his name because it would save his people from their sins. Now, the Jewish people were being oppressed by the Romans, who charged an excessive amount of taxes. By this time, Herod was the one who ruled in that region, and rumors of rebellion of the Jewish people reached his ears. So he oppressed even more the people, and those who preached about the Messiah and the prophecy of a deliverer killed without mercy. For this reason, the Jewish people were crying out to God and longed for a Savior to arise, one who will deliver them from the oppression of the Romans. But in the description of the text that we read, we see that the Savior that God is providing to the people will give them freedom from something much greater than taxes. This Savior had come to deliver them from their sins and save them from eternal condemnation. Today is happening the same thing as the Jewish people. They were waiting for a person who would deliver them from their taxes, from the Romans. But the world and this city, men and women are looking for a solution to pay their taxes, to pay their debts, get the car or the house of their dreams, all focused on the material, but none of all those things in the spiritual. Many seek spiritual things because they think that through spiritual peace, by whatever that means, they will obtain material goods. But it's not so. If you want to have money, work 20 hours a day and sleep 4, and don't spend that money. You're going to have money. But if you want to save your soul, trust in Christ, and give everything to Him. Listen, I'm not saying that you don't have to work. I'm just saying that the Lord of your life should be more important than your work. That the one who cleansed your heart from sins should always be with you. And nothing should be an obstacle for you to have a better relationship with Him. Rather, all the things you do should bring you closer to the Lord. Your marriage should bring you closer to God. Your work should bring you closer to God. If you are unemployed, that should make you look more for the face of the Lord. Do not be fooled by this world that offers happiness and the perishable things. Jesus came to save His people from their sins. Jesus came to save you, your life and my life, if you just believe in Him. Notice well that I did not say if you believe in Him, believed, past tense. I said the same thing that the scripture teach. If you believe in Him, present tense. I want to make you feel uncomfortable for a little bit right now, to make you think. So I'm not going to ask you if you believed, past tense, in Jesus Christ as your Savior. But I'm going to ask you if you, do you believe in Jesus as your Savior today? Because when you read John chapter 3 and verse 16, it's in present tense. you believe now. Every day. The gospel is for every day. I'm not saying that you're going to lose your salvation. I'm saying that you should believe every day. And your answer to this question should be a convincing amen. You should raise your hand and say, amen, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior. But not only with your mouth, but an amen that can be seen in your works, in your daily life, in such a way that you have no fear of being pointed out. And you can say, I have peace with my neighbor, and I have peace with my Lord. I have peace with God. Matthew in chapter 1 quotes a prophecy that was announced by Isaiah 700 years earlier. The Bible said, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Many men and women talk about God and say that they are asking God and that they believe in God. But the only way someone can really say that God is with him is if he knows Jesus. Because Emmanuel means God with us. The one who knows Jesus also knows God, because Jesus is also God. Let's say we know God only if we have a personal relationship with Jesus. Please do not say that you have a good relationship with Jesus just because you know how to find the books in the Bible, because you know the order of the books in the Bible, or because you are attending the church every Sunday, or because you know a few stories of Jesus in the Bible. But if you want to know how is your relationship with Jesus, look at what you did this morning. Just think about what you did this morning, today, when you woke up. If you spend time alone with him, with the Lord, because you thought that time that we have to pray in the church is not enough to talk about the things that I want to talk to the Lord. So you were praying in your house. And if you said, well, I'm going to read my Bible before I go to church because that sermon is too short for me and it's not going to satisfy my spiritual hunger. Something you are probably having an intimate relationship with Jesus. Examine yourself and let the Holy Spirit convince you how you are now with God. So we're reading the prophecy. The prophecy was fulfilled, and the Savior that all men were waiting for had arrived. But not in the way they thought, but in a humble way. And to save them from what they did not know, from their sins. That is the greatest evil that men suffer. Because any other bad thing in our lives is going to finish with time. Disease, poverty, emotional pain, or any other difficult circumstance in your life is going to just pass. But the damage that sin produces is eternal. And Christ alone can give you, and can give me to freedom from that punishment. Men try to be free from sin by their own works. And we can see in the Bible, the Pharisees were all the time looking for things to do. What I have to do, what are the works that I have to do to be free from sin. There are no works that you can do to be free from the punishment of sin. It's just the person of Jesus Christ. They were trying to follow the law of Moses. They tried to be perfect in their works. But there is no one who can be called perfect, but just only God. So the Christian life is not a list of things to do and another list of things that we shouldn't do. But Christian life is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Christian life is a relationship. It's the same that you have a relationship with a friend. You talk to him, you share time with that person, you talk about things and personal things with that person. More deep are the conversations, more deep and profound is your relationship. After personally knowing Jesus, the Lord, then all the things that must be done will be done, and only by obedience and love of Jesus. If you love the person of Jesus, you will hate sin. Can you see that? It is not about what you do or what you don't do, but it's about Jesus. Because what you do is directly related to the person you love. I mean, if you love yourself first, you're going to look for your own satisfaction. You're going to do things to satisfy yourself first, looking for you first. That's selfishness. But if you love Jesus more than everything in the life, even yourself, you will look to satisfy Him. Look what verse 24 said. Luke chapter 1 and verse 24. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife. He took Mary. It wasn't easy. But Joseph acted obediently to the voice of the angel of the Lord, because for him, the voice of the angel was the voice of God. What is the voice of God for us today? It's His word. We have His word there, and we're not listening to many times. Days pass away and we're not reading our Bible. And not just reading, but trying to understand and put in context every verse to try to understand with passion what the Lord has to say to us. Today is the same thing happening. We have to hear the voice of God. Can you think about all the negative things that could be happening in Joseph's life? People talking about Mary's pregnant and they're not together yet. What happened in him? But he decided to obey the Lord. Likewise, we walk in the Christian life seeking first to do God's will for love of God and not for what we think that is easier. Many times, easier is not going to be the will of God. Sometimes can be. But Christian life is a life of renunciation. That's why the Lord said in Matthew chapter 10, "Whoever loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for me, for my sake, will find it." Although Joseph loved Mary and loved himself too, he acted according to the will of God, seeing for the interests of the Lord rather than his own. In this way, Joseph saved his life, renouncing the plans he had. God allowed him to be part of the most majestic thing that the world has seen: God in flesh, Jesus Christ. So we have to do the same today in every decision that we are taking every day. We should do the same. Renounce to the selfishness of your heart. Stop longing for what the world offers you and enjoy a life of obedience motivated by the love of God. That is to say, you will be obedient and will strive to walk in the ways of the Lord for love of God, because you will love the Lord so much that you will only take care to know and do His will. So the love is the thing that is motivating us to seek His will and to do His will. It's not that we're trying to do His will to find His favor, but it is that we are loving that much to the Lord that we just want to do what He says. A few days ago, after I arrived here, I saw a mother with her little daughter taking their dog out for a walk. But when they were walking on the sidewalk at the edge of the street, the strap of this little puppy escaped from this lady's hand. Like old restless puppy, the puppy ran to cross the street where the cars passed. This lady was desperate, and her first reaction was to run after her puppy, forgetting her 5-year-old daughter on the sidewalk. The little girl did not understand what was happening, and when she saw herself alone on the sidewalk, she decided to cross the street behind her mother. So there was a picture for a moment. The dog and the lady on the other sidewalk, and the little girl left behind alone in the middle of the street. This is what is happening today. People are often more concerned about their pets than their own family. This lady had to make a decision, or take care of her daughter or take care of her dog. But she could not do both. Thank God the little girl managed to cross the street without problems. By the time she reached to the other side, her mother realized what she had done and embraced her daughter firmly. Again, I'm not saying that it's wrong to have pets and take care of them diligently. But I want you to understand that the problem is when our priorities are the gifts and not the God who gives the gifts. Because your family, your work, your church, your friends, your house, your car, your pet, and all the things that you have are a gift from God for you. Therefore, you should not love the gifts more than the God that is giving you the gifts. This Christmas season is a good opportunity to remember the birth of Jesus. In addition to all his works here on earth, it is an excellent opportunity to share the gospel that Jesus Christ was born, lived, died, and rose again. And all who believe in him will be resurrected also for eternal life with him. I think we should do this every day of our life throughout the year. But in Christmas season, there is a special opportunity to share with our brothers in Christ, family, and also with those who do not yet know Jesus. Take this opportunity to shout loudly the name of Jesus. May his name be known wherever you go. You can use all the opportunities that you have because Christmas season is talking about Christ. I really like Paul Tripp, and he used an illustration to remember the gospel with the Christmas tree. He said, "I love Christmas. I love everything about Christmas. I love setting up a ridiculously big Christmas tree 12 feet high. It's nuts. I love decorating, and I love all of those traditions. And I'm very aware that Christmas is all about a tree. But it's not the tree that you decorate. There is another tree that Christmas is all about. In fact, I thought many times that even before the foundation of the earth, there was a tree in Jesus' future. And from the first breath that Jesus took, every step he took was marching toward this tree. This is not a tree of happiness. This was not a tree of joy. This is not a tree that you would celebrate. Nobody would ever want to be any part of this tree but Jesus. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus approached this tree with joy. That tree is not an evergreen. It was a cross. Jesus knew when he came to earth that that cross was his destiny. When the angels sang their song of joy was really about the cross. When the wise men searched for Jesus, they were searching for one who would hang on a cross. Because there is no other way for what was broken inside of human beings to be fixed other than the cross. And so Jesus came. He didn't come as a reigning king. He didn't come to be celebrated. He came to suffer and die. And it is true that every step he took brought him into the cross. That cross was an essential part of everything that God had in mind for human beings. Because what was broken at the garden, the separation of sin had to be dealt with. There had to be one who would live perfectly, who would die acceptably, who would raise again, conquering sin and death in order for us to have forgiveness, acceptance with God, powerful living, and eternal life. I would just say to you, my prayer is that when you look at your decorated tree, that you would remember that other tree. Your tree that you decorate can't give you life. The other tree is a source of life. Christmas is a story about that tree. And the one who came to hang on that tree to satisfy God's requirement so we would know life abundant and life forever. Now, maybe this is not the meaning of the Christmas tree for many people, but I do not care. As long as it can be used to remember the true gospel and preach in this way, it seems very good. Take advantage of this special time of the year and remember the infinite love of God. Likewise, share with others what he has done. Let's pray. God, we worship your name, and we are remembering this morning the gospel, and we want to remember every day of our lives, because when you save us, you save us eternally, and nothing can separate us from your love. But we want also live as a Christians, loving you first, and then loving others in practical ways. Help us to share the gospel in this season with people that doesn't know you, but also remembering the gospel with people that already know you, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. There are many people also outside that never could hear the true gospel. Give us opportunities to share the gospel with them. Give us at least today or tomorrow one person to share the gospel with. Thank you for your word, and thank you for your people gathering this morning to worship your name. We recognize you as our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast from Bethany. Join us for Sunday worship at 3532 South Point Avenue in Chicago. For more information, visit BethanyChicago.org.